love Kansas City. This is our guy. This is Sean Big Daddy Smith here. Join us live on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey. Sean, I can't think of any other way than to start the interview off with this. What do you do? What do you do if a grown man on a football field came up to you and spit right on your jersey?
Man, you guys know me. I'm the deep freeze. You know, if somebody spit on me, you know I've probably been swinging right after that. It would have been a nice brawl with me. I get it. I still don't understand, though, because they say Dak spit on him first. But, you know, always the second person get caught.
Yeah, it's always the second spitter, right? I mean, you've done some stuff on the field. We know about the, you know, the grabbing of the balls and all that kind of stuff. Like, what's some of the worst stuff that you've seen been a part of on the field?
It's crazy, though. I'm trying to think. Somebody else had a spit incident when I was playing. I want to say it was when we played the Ravens. I want to say in the playoffs, I think it was with the Ray Rice situation or something. I believe somebody spit on him or something. It was something. I don't know, but I just know this. He's going to get suspended, pay a hefty fine. Somebody, the league's going to make an example out of him just because it was Dak Prescott. And, hey, man, you got to live with it. Super Bowl champs. I mean, I guess he has a nasty attitude, and he's trying to bring some persona, some swag to the team or some toughness. I mean, I just don't know how you do that right off bit. And a play hasn't even happened yet for you to even just do it. I mean, I guess that's the hate that the Cowboys and Eagles fans have.
When you look at this game tonight against the Chargers in Brazil, first off, it's hell of a travel for the teams to go to Brazil. But most importantly, I was thinking about these two teams in the offseason. Obviously, Omarion Hampton drafted out of North Carolina. They're running back. We know Harbaugh likes to run the hell out of the football. But then that D-line, Omenihue's there. You know this position all too well. Chris Jones still there, the savvy vet. Karloftis, Norman Lott, Gelati, all these guys they added to this team in the draft, plus the guy they get back in Omenihue for week one, not missing half a season, not missing two to injury. Where do you see this game really be in the dogfight between the Chiefs and the Chargers?
I think it's going to come down to if we stop the run and don't let Gabbert. What's the quarterback name?
Herbert. I'm with you. Blaine Gabbert, Justin Herbert, 6-1, half a dozen of another, bro.
Yeah, so I'm just with them. I look at it as this. It's another divisional game. We have to win the division in order to make it to the playoffs. So it's another divisional game. Harbaugh's going to have them guys kind of ready to play, but I just think Andy Reid and the Chiefs, Patty Mahomes is just different. You know, we still got the redemption, sour taste in the mouth from losing the Super Bowl last year. That wasn't a team. The team that you see performing the Super Bowl last year, that's not the Chiefs that we know.
Well, and that's the thing, as we talked to former Chief Sean Smith, you know, that game has a lot of people rattled, I'm sure. That's the last one we had the opportunity to see. But I'm kind of like you. Like, that was an anomaly. That wasn't the norm for the Chiefs. And that's why that one doesn't kind of concern me at all.
No, I got you. I totally understand. I totally understand that. I just feel it's just that everybody's putting more into it, but I don't think so. I just think we just got to play our football and block out the outside noise. I do feel like we get starting to get like the Cowgirls right now with all these Netflix, the Kingdom. It's just too much sometimes. You know what I mean? Let's just stick to football and we'll be fine.
When you look at this team, and they call it the revenge tour, when you think of the revenge tour, who's got the most revenge to prove on this team?
That's actually a good question. The whole team, coaching staff included, we got to prove the revenge. It was the revenge. We got to prove that we wasn't just not one hit wonder, but we're a dynasty. We kept saying we was a dynasty. We have to get to that. Like, the New England Patriots was the team for the 2000s, we have to be the team now.
Yeah, and it goes back to winning. I mean, you get out there, you win tonight on the international stage, everybody is forgetting about the Super Bowl. And that's what I think they're going to do, Sean, because I think the revenge factor is so big with them. And you played in this league before. Like, when you get out there and you've got that revenge factor and you got Patrick Mahomes, man, like, why would you even try to tell them they're not going to be able to get the job done?
I don't know. That just, as you know, people get paid to write their opinion. So the media has to put not you guys, but, you know, the bad media guys have to put the narrative out there and have something to write about. I mean, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. We're gonna win the division again, make it to the playoffs, and hopefully we get back to the Super Bowl. I don't see it as like make a bust year for us, or we are building, reloading. No, we got the talent. We just have to put up and shut up.
And also, too, a lot to prove. You mentioned the media. Dan Orlovsky yesterday saying that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are the best quarterback-coach combination in the NFL. That's got to leave a fire burning for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, too, to hear something stupid like that said.
Well, first of all, look who you just said. The same quarterback that ran out the back of the damn end zone. Right. So it doesn't his takes – he's on TV just to be on TV sometimes. They give these quarterbacks these jobs on TV just because they played quarterback and they feel like they're great analysts. But no, they're not, because he was a horrible quarterback when he played. So I don't respect his opinion. No offense, he's played in the NFL. I just don't respect his takes, because it's like Manny Te'o on Good Morning Football. He's horrible too. I'm like, I don't respect your takes. I can't.
Because he got catfished.
Yeah, he got not only just catfished, it's a difference in your play. You know, I'm not sitting here saying I was a Pro Bowler, but I was undrafted, played 10 years, journeyman. But when I played, you know I played and I made a difference.
So last night we saw that. You go ahead.
No, it's a difference. You see that, though, and that's the difference. And everybody has a role on the team. It's a matter of how do you expand your role or not.
Right. When you see that kind of dirty move on Jalen Carter, whether he was provoked or not, he still did it. Who was the dirtiest player in your time in the NFL that you remember the most?
Ooh. Richie Incognito was dirty.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he went to a
funeral. Richie Incognito was dirty. Who else? I'm not going to – Olin Cruz wasn't dirty, but he played pretty – no, you know who it was? Kevin Mawai.
Oh, right. These centers. Why are centers so dirty? They're just the silent assassins.
They can get away with stuff inside, though,
can't they?
They
get away with a lot of stuff that people don't understand. They get away with a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff that goes on the POW. You know, I told you guys this way back before. A lot of stuff goes on the POW. They do a lot of dirty stuff, too. So, I mean, and they just, I don't know. They're the less talented player. I feel like the center sometimes is the less talented player on your team. And they get taken advantage of, so they got to find all the little nifty tricks to stay apart.
All right, well, how's this game go tonight? What's your score prediction? What do you think this game's going to be like?
I think we might start out a little slow in the first two series, but I think we win. Overall, I think the score is 34-17.
What's on the spread tonight for you to eat?
It's crazy. I don't know. I tell you guys, I'm coaching high school football down here in Texas at a private school with I know you guys know George Teague. He's the head coach.
Oh, cool.
So I'm coaching at John Paul II. It's a Catholic school out here. We won our first game last week, 42-0.
Damn.
We got a good game tonight. So I'm gonna be in the box calling the plays, still watching the Chiefs game. So you know, that just tells you what kind of night it's gonna be. You know, but I really think, seriously, all knows. I think the Chiefs win, and then I'm going to throw another one out there on a limb for you guys, and I've been waiting all week for this, too. KU upsets Mizzou this week.
Okay.
I love it.
All right. There we go. That's Sean Smith, man. Take it easy. Good night on the gridiron tonight. Enjoy the headset being on and the phone angled up on the press box table with the Chiefs going on with the Chargers.
Trust me, I'm going to yell in the headset. I'm like, what's going on? Nothing. I'm watching the Chiefs game.
That's okay. Hey, take care, man.
Talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, thanks for having me on. See y'all next week.
Sean Smith, coaching high school football.
I love it. I love that guy. Love that guy.
So great.
He's always one of my favorites. I'm so glad we have him.
I think we just got
now.
Six drops in one interview.
He just ripped the Cowboys. He ripped centers. He ripped Orlovsky. Everything we wanted.
Yeah.
Awesome interview.
816, who is this? I like him a lot.
That's Sean Smith, former defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs and friend of the show, and he's going to be on every Friday at 9 o'clock.
Love it.
Coming up next.
He may spill in the baseball season.
You already know what happens if a grown man spits on me, man. Like, I know, but I just wanted to ask. Coming up next, Cody Tapp will join us on our round table on a Friday. If you can believe it, we're almost at the end of the show. Cody Tapp of Cody and Gold will join us next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Welcome back in to Fesco and Dusty with Mac Murray as well. Don't forget, you can stream your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with a juicy week one matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year, essentially $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It is the roundtable. We are here, fellas. We are 0 days away for the first Chiefs football game, and the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. First victim of the roundtable. I don't know why you're a victim, but it is Cody Tapp from 10 to 2.
Thanks for having me in.
Well, thanks for coming in this morning, and we're ready for a 35-0 Chiefs victory tonight. Are you?
I got to say, it's a long time coming, especially when the last game you got to watch that mattered was the Super Bowl.
Well.
And then you're like, And I kind of, I wanted the Cowboys to win last night, maybe just for that reason alone. Plus, it's funny.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that it would have been funny if Brian Schottenheimer with no Micah Parsons would have found a win. They should have won.
They should have won. CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
That guy stinks.
That's who let the entire team down.
You're making $100 million a year. You got at least the slant pattern across the middle. You've got to catch that.
I thought Dak
pass.
Played pretty good.
Dak is not going to get the credit that he, and I'm not a Dakota Prescott lover at all. I don't think he's that great. He was good last night, and his wide receiver let him down. $100 million CD Lamb. He's got quick hands. He grabbed that phone. You got to catch those passes in an NFL game, man.
I know we're going to mostly talk Chiefs. I got to say, Did anybody else notice the NFL machine? This is how I knew football was back. Like five national NFL reporters framed the Jalen Carter thing the exact same way. I'm like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Tom Pelissero, the ball
washer. He was pretty much already suspended for the game.
Right.
No, he wasn't.
So you saw
if he spit on him in the third quarter, that's an ejection. A suspension is different than an ejection.
Right.
I don't care if it's 5 seconds into the game or 3.5 quarters into the game. Yeah. You got ejected for that game. If he did that in the fourth quarter, he shouldn't play the next game. Then he shouldn't play this one either.
Yeah.
Not even from a competitive standpoint. If he's on the field, he's on the field. But like every NFL reporter, like, well, he basically already served it. I'm like, oh, I see what the NFL told you to say.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's why I call these guys ball washers for the NFL, because the league calls them up. They put out what they want them to say. And I first saw it from Pelissero this morning that, like, technically he was already suspended for a game.
Graziano is all of them.
Yeah, no. Oh, so the whole crew's on it.
Yeah, everybody got the text.
So everybody got a text from Brian McCarthy in the league office and put it out. I got you.
So I have to ask you, because you and I are both guys that obviously can run our mouth but cannot run our fists. Like, we're not fighting first.
We'll talk our
way out of it, right?
Grown man, two fights my entire life. I regretted both.
I mean, you're looking at me like I wouldn't throw a punch either.
Because I know your answer.
Yeah.
What do you do if a grown man, let's say you're at a bar and some guy comes up to you and goes, you know what, I really hate your effing songs. Right on your chest.
I mean, the thing is,
because Bob said something, like I said to Bob, what if somebody came to you and said 119th and all and spit on his chest? He goes, I'd be in so much shock that I don't know what my next action would
be. It's legitimately, it's like funny because like everyone universally agrees, it is the most disrespectful thing you can do to another human being.
Wipe your ass with your hand and slap someone across the face. I mean, but like that's the lowest of low.
Yeah.
And the next one is loogie to the chest.
Oh, man. So the two fights I was in, I was like a teenager. So like it's been a very long time since then. I'm guessing that might be the only time where I'd consider a punch. Honestly, you got to know that they're not crazy.
Right.
One time in my entire life, six, seven, 8 years ago now, I was walking down at 10 in the morning in Power and Light. I was walking back to a car.
10 a.m.? You did get punched. I remember this.
A random person brushed me on the shoulder, and I was like, and it was just like two people on the street. And I turned around and I said, yeah, and he said, excuse you. I was like, what? And then he punched me in the face.
Yeah.
And I was like, the hell just happened? And he said, watch where you're going. And then he looked like he was ready to fight, like he was trying to pick the fight. And I was like, I'm just going to leave. Because this person's crazy. And I'm not starting fights with crazy people.
I'm just
going to leave.
Where at in the face?
I mean, right in the cheek, like right here in the lip. Like
glasses
got
are
a little
okay?
Fat. Glasses were fine. I mean, just, I was like, I was so confused.
What hurt worse, that or the sting from the bee?
The bee.
How long did that take to heal, by the way?
I had a free open shot, too. I mean, it's not like I was trying to defend myself. I didn't expect to get punched in the face at 10 in the morning.
I mean, that is still a wild story. Like, Cody's walking down the street and some guy just punched
him. And everyone's response was like, why didn't you fight him back? I'm like, oh, do you make it a habit of fighting crazy people at 10 in the morning? I don't. That's not a fight I can win.
No, that's 10 in the morning downtown.
No.
That's when you show up to work, you should see the other guy.
Like, it's at least a little bit like there are circumstances like Dustin and I are out and we're in a place and we know each other, and then he tries to start throwing a punch. I can defend myself.
Well, that almost happened.
At least there's a circumstance. Yeah.
No, that was in Springfield.
Springfield, that guy got. Yeah.
That guy almost did it.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Random person choosing to run into you and then clearly ready to just fight. Like, nah, this person wants to fight. Like, we got to both kind of not want to fight, and then it just escalated to that point. If you want to fight, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Speaking of the fight, what's your big takeaway for that? I know you got to save some stuff for 10 to 2 because that's your guys' big chunk. But, like, tonight, when you sit on the couch at the household of the Tap household, and you're, you know, obviously your kids are excited, your wife's there enjoying it, but, like, when your sports mind goes off and you're thinking of this game, like, all right, this is what's got to happen.
So I don't want to get too high or too low on the offense without Rashee Rice. It kind of creates a bad situation where, like, if they score 30 and you're like, without Rashee Rice, they're not going to score 40 a game.
Right.
Like, so I'm not going to try to get too high or too low on the offense based on where they are, especially because the Chargers were one of the better points per game defenses in the NFL last year. So, like, I do take getting points against them to mean something, at least a little. I care most about the defensive line, probably. As silly as that sounds, the Mahomes revenge year conversation, I'm not worried about it. I think they're going to score points. I think that they have a better offense on the field tonight without Rashee Rice than they had in any of the 17 regular season games last year. Yep. So, like, I already expect them to be better offensively. The pass rush it's really on four guys and no one else. They have zero depth. Mm-hmm. They have to hope that Karlaftis and Aminihue and Chris Jones all don't get hurt. And if it's not those guys and Dana, it's kind of just a bunch of Jags. And so if they're not going to get it from those guys pretty regularly, I'm not going to count on Tillery. No starting left tackle for the Chargers. They had trouble protecting Herbert at times last year. Mm-hmm. I don't love their offensive weapons outside of McConkey.
Over there on the left side.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. A biggest takeaway from a season-long perspective is probably the defensive line.
Because I think if Alt moves over to the left, that's a feast of crows for George Karlaftis. And this is
that
moment where it's like, George, you got paid because they thought this could be a year where you'd have an uptick in numbers. They want to get you cheaper. That was the deal. And now it's like they're moving their best offensive lineman to go to the left side because they don't have a left tackle. Advantage George, correct?
Yes. But also, like, Chiefs fans probably know this better because of last year, too. They always talk about, like, one position, like, didn't affect it. They are now on their backup left tackle, right tackle, and right guard.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what they're on the backup all three of those spots. They moved, like, they have to put somebody else at right tackle, put somebody else at right guard because of the chain effect. Like, it's not just, so Alt's worse at left tackle, we assume, than the
otherwise he would have been starting.
Yeah. Other than the all-pro left tackle.
Right.
So, like, they've downgraded at three offensive line spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really have. Now, Alt's a good player.
We know all too well about that.
Oh, yeah, I don't think Alt's going
to. Yeah, let me take you back to the Super Bowl and show you what it looks like to shuffle your line around. Yeah.
I don't think Alt's going to get, like, I don't think he's going to be a mess over there. But if when you weaken yourself everywhere.
Yeah, no, I agree, totally. It has that trickle-down
effect.
If he's
a 95 right tackle, and I'm just putting Madden over, if he's a 95 right tackle, he's an 84 left tackle.
Yeah, and he was a 95 right tackle. Now that guy's a 79 right tackle.
And the guy
and the right guard. Yeah, it's like, it's just a, it's a.
And you got Chris Jones and Karlaftis. Come
and,
on.
Right.
And honestly, this is the thing I don't understand. I always understand it more for the teams that do it. Like, I understand they're paying Herbert now.
Mm-hmm.
They have done nothing in the talents around. They drafted a running back. Okay, so, like,
receiver that failed.
So maybe that works. But, like, right now, they've got Ladd McConkey and no one else.
Yeah, it's true. They don't have much out there, man. The Quentin Johnson kid could, I mean, make C.D. Lamb look like a catch artist last night, you know? So I'm not worried about their offensive weapons at all. You know, I think for me, I think we're all going to be watching Josh Simmons for the first couple of series,
huge.
Right?
You
and
Binkley.
Everybody's like Binkley's rooting for him to lose or fail, I should say.
It's not true, but
not true. He hated the pick, right? So I think we're all going to be watching Josh Simmons, and then we'll watch two series. He'll be just fine. We'll never think about Josh Simmons again, and that's a good thing for this team. Like, I need that to happen. I don't want to be talking about the offensive line come Monday morning.
No, it was so I've decided to walk in with a little bit of reservation. Not like I think Simmons is very good. But I'm just going to not decide that he's already the goods before the game starts. So
fair
I have
point.
To watch it because Kingsley burned me last year. Mm-hmm. He won the job so quick. I'm like, oh baby, they're set. We're so good. Right. The Chiefs have the fourth youngest offensive line in football. They might very well have 3/5 of Patrick Mahomes' offensive line for his career. Like, if Simmons works out, he will be the left tackle for Patrick Mahomes forever.
I
don't think Creed
feeling.
Will ever be a different center. And, like, there's a chance because of Trey's contract, they'll have him for a huge chunk of it. Like, they could have a good chunk of his line settled.
If Josh Simmons is the guy that we think he is, not the guy who Binkley thinks he is, Josh Simmons may be here longer than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you look at some of those all-pro, and I know I'm comparing him to all-pros, but this you drafted the guy in the first round.
12, everybody, 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, an Anthony Munoz, an Orlando Pace.
Even Jason Peters, they get 16 years.
That's what I'm saying, right? What do you think has a better opportunity happening? That guy getting 16 years or Patrick Mahomes getting 16 more years in the NFL? There is a good possibility that Josh Simmons is still playing once Patrick Mahomes retires.
I think your best chance to get Patrick Mahomes to like the Tom Brady age, which he kind of early in his career admitted he didn't want to play that long. He hasn't really talked about it much since, is if he's like one-off. You need Mahomes to get to like 6 Super Bowls.
Right, yeah.
So then he's like 41 and he's like, I'm going to keep riding this until I'm getting to 7.
Right.
Like, you almost need him to get to the number that, like, makes it a chase. Because if he's at 4 or 5, you might go, okay.
Right.
You know, just, I'm happy. I'm 40. I've got my 5. I'll take that to the bank and I'll move on. But Simmons, if they solved it, that's why it matters so much.
Right.
If they got it right, they will never have to look for another left tackle for Patrick Mahomes for the rest of his career.
Yep.
Which, that is a head on pillow, good night's sleep.
Oh yeah.
That's a, hey, I just bought a new car. This should last me, you know, 15 years of my life.
It's, I just bought that new Camry. Yeah. It's got 0 miles on it, so I'm good for the next 300,000.
And my drive to work is 10 miles.
You know,
I'm good.
It's fantastic. But I mean, you think about Dick Vermeil, right? He had Orlando Pace and then immediately got here and had one bad year. And they went, all right, we're going to get Willie Rofe. And think about what those offenses were like in St. Louis and Kansas City with that left tackle that you could think about what it was like with Eric Fisher at left tackle here, where you knew you had a guy that you could rely on. It is such an important position. And by God, if they got this thing solved and they never have to look for another left tackle again, they've won the lottery.
Do we all agree that one of all of the insane Patrick Mahomes stats, of which there are many, I think my favorite that we repeat on the show is that his shortest season is overtime in the AFC Championship game.
That's right.
5 quarters in the second to last game is a short. But the fact that he has gone into 5 different Super Bowls with 5 different starting left tackles, when the league universally agrees that that is one of the 5 most important positions on the field, and it's been a revolving door, that's got to be up there for Mahomes stats.
I mean, it's
wild.
That's a Mahomes
statue.
5 different, right? 5 different left tackles?
That's crazy.
And what's funny is they all are like a trickle-down effect, right? Because that stat's there. And because that stat's there, Mahomes has never lost his division. He's never lost fewer than 11 games in a season.
Yeah.
And then you look at what he does in the month of September. It's egregious what this guy can do in the month of September. And you look at this Chargers team, and I think Mitch told us that the Chargers, since they've moved to L.A., have not beaten the Chiefs at home.
And this is better for them than a true home game.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Exactly, and now they'll play this game in Brazil. I know we're going to do it Monday. I know your show's going to do it. I know our show's going to do it. Somewhere, this field is going to have a talking point. Are you okay with this Brazil game? Like with this, because the practice field, somebody said yesterday on Twitter, looks like they were filming the Little Giants.
I liked it. Everybody just referenced like the childhood football field near their house. I mentioned it was like San Rafael Park. The Necco Raiders played there when I was a kid. That was the exact goalpost.
Hall McCarter had a better
borderline
view. And we were the worst middle school in Blue Springs. Hall McCarter.
I mean, it looks like a field we used to practice softball on. Like
this
95th and 69 Highway, like in the backwoods there. There was like this field and you would find nails and all kinds. I mean, it was awful, right?
Genuinely terrified of it.
Yeah,
yes.
I
saw like Alex and I were fortunate enough to be there for the Super Bowl that they beat Philly in. That field smelled bad.
Mm.
And you're like, and I didn't know, it smelled like milk, like it was rotting.
Oh.
And so like any field can have like an issue. The problem is, and I guess like I was talking to like, of all people, you're talking to like George Tome about it not that long ago. And it's just like, I don't know how, this doesn't even make any sense to me. It's like soccer grass is different than football grass.
Of course.
And you're just like, it's just grass. I mean, can't we figure this out by now?
We're an international multi-billion dollar operation, the NFL, and yet they can't figure out playing surfaces.
Nope. And it happens in regular NFL games too. So, all the time.
We're lucky that it doesn't really happen at Arrowhead. You know, they got a great grounds crew out there, right?
Was it the Giants-Jets field for a while that everybody in the NFL is like, hey, can we stop? Can we do something about this?
Yeah, because that's the one where they did it immediately after Aaron popped his Achilles.
Yeah, and like every player popped their Achilles. I know, and they still couldn't get it right.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know what the right answer is, but like, I guess sometimes – you say the obvious thing and like people don't think the obvious thing, right? Right. How about at the end of the season, 32 groundskeepers get together and figure out a standardized field for this league instead of having different surfaces everywhere? Here, and I understand climate gets in the way. It really does. Like climate is
Arizona's got to roll theirs out into the sun.
Yeah. Everybody, but Green Bay, you're like growing grass past, you know, August up there.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like each climate is different, but there has to be some sort of standardized thing like to do in April, May, and June when you can grow these fields in the springtime before you get out there. Like, why can't we have something like that?
It does make sense to me that that would be plausible, but I guess it's just like anything else. There are bad run NFL organizations, and like we're lucky in Kansas City. Both the Chiefs and the Royals have very, very, very good groundskeepers and have for a long time. So
well,
for
the
at
Chiefs
least,
were big on the green paint for the Carl Peterson
era. In fairness, you're right. In those 90s years, they said it was like playing like concrete.
Yeah, since Andy has come into town, and they got the right groundskeeper, the right if you don't think Andy has an impact on everything in the organization, we got to get the best groundskeeper, we got to get the best this, the best that, and the other thing. Since he's come in, the groundskeeper, they've been great.
So there probably just aren't, I guess, for whatever reason, 32 guys good at managing an NFL football field.
Right.
But at the same, and then you're getting someone below 32 to get the one ready for Brazil, right? It's not the Chiefs groundskeeper going down there. It's whichever groundskeeper outside contract hire they did it. Part of you just wishes you're like, is the second guy in charge behind Hogan in Kansas City available to go down there for the month and like, you know, crack the whip a little bit, make sure that the Brazil field's good to go before we go.
Right.
But can you loan him for a day?
This is where though, like the money grab gets to be a little bit too much, right? If you're the NFL and you look at, all right, where can we continue to push it and push it and push it when it comes to having bad fields and player safety then gets involved? God forbid somebody gets hurt on these fields, you know?
This is always the NFL doesn't care. The hypocrisy of it is always what gets me because they will fight player safety on the tiniest little dumb things. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, we'd also like you to play an incredibly physical sport for an 18th game, if you don't mind, in a couple of years.
For sure.
Or
in Brazil.
Play in an incredibly dangerous field. Yeah, and every single, that 18th game we had, by the way, by the time they add that game, that 18th game will only be for international.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Every team will play two international games a year. They'll get 8 home, 8 away, 2 international. And they'll set it up with a double bye week and the whole thing. But that's not player safety.
No, it's not. What they're doing now is not player safety. 13 and a half hours for the Chargers. 11 and a half hours for the Chiefs. And then, oh, by the way, you got to get on a bus for 2 hours and get to your hotel.
I'm just praying Juwan Taylor's knee wasn't a cantaloupe by the time he got there. So they essentially just didn't practice him because of it.
Yeah.
They were genuinely worried. Because, like, big guy, big plane, all that stuff, your knee can get fat in a hurry. Mm-hmm. You might need to get it drained by the time you get there. That's why Jalen Moore took first-team reps in the last 8 days at right tackle. Just in case. Let's make sure he's got a couple of snaps.
Well, yeah, you have to. But that right there is why Andy's better than everybody else, because they're thinking about stuff like that, right? The minor stuff that three of us aren't thinking about. They're thinking about it. And when people say, you know, why are the Chiefs better than everybody else? Because they have an answer for every scenario. They have legitimately planned for worst case scenario for everything. So when it does happen, like, we already planned for this.
So when you look at this game, I've always said, and you mentioned this earlier on in the roundtable here with Cody Tapp, who will be on from 10 to 2. The Super Bowl humbled me because I didn't put enough focus on our offensive line and how real bad it was. And again, their defensive line was insanely great and we didn't give them enough credit. Is there a level of concern on this Chiefs team? We'll take Juwan Taylor and the right tackle out of it. But is there, because mine is the secondary. Like, there's McDuffie. I know that we've had these corners, next guy up, sort of. You know, you got all the other guys that are rolling. Wallace is out there. And then there's Jaden Hicks, who's coming off a big, you know, kind of a nice rookie year. Ladd McConkey scares me tonight. I'm going to be honest. Like, that guy, a next year up, next year in the league. I know McDuffie's going to get back to covering people in the slot. That's where McConkey's going to run. But he's also going to, at times, going to be lined up with Jaden Hicks, who's a second year, really just a first year starter, plus Brian Cook out there as well. Is there anywhere in that field of play for the Chiefs where you're like, you know, we do need to talk about this. We do need to focus on this a little bit.
So I mentioned the defensive line. That's always on the list. The secondary is really interesting because they've lulled me into a level of confidence with them because of the next man mentality.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And in a weird way, they spoke volumes about Hicks, Connor, and Cook as the available safeties for them when they didn't go veteran safety. Spags has been the DC here a long time. Andy's been here a long time. They went out on the street and got Tyrann Mathieu. They went on the street and got Justin Reed. They have made a point of finding veteran safety who can run shop for them. And this time they were like, everyone's still on their rookie contract. They're like, we're good. we'll get Christian Fulton to play the outside corner spot, mm-hmm. and the safety stuff will make itself work. And so I worry about it a little bit. I worry about it more if there's an injury, because my problem is more if they have Jalen Watson, Noel Williams, Fulton, and McDuffie with the safeties we mentioned, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
When it starts getting down to the Joshua Williams camp, they don't even like Joshua Williams. They would love anybody to beat him. They've been trying to get Nazi Johnson to take his job for 3 years, and he just won't because he can't stay healthy. But the secondary, weirdly enough, makes me feel okay because of where they've been in that situation. I still think the running backs are bad. I still don't understand. Like, Pacheco could have a big year, but they're one injury away from being the exact same spot as last year, where you're like, really? We're back to just Kareem Hunt hopefully running the show? I don't like the danger of that. If Pacheco, you could promise me 17 games, I'll be fine at running back. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that you can promise me that at running back ever.
Yeah, no, you can't. I can't promise it at any position, but especially with the running back position. But the safety thing is interesting to me because Dave Merritt doesn't get enough credit as the defensive back coach. And I mean, Spags is unbelievable, but Dave Merritt needs to be saluted a little bit too, because you keep mentioning this next man up thing. He's the guy coaching all these guys to get ready to play, and they've been unbelievable. Like, I have a feeling that when this thing ends, when Andy retires, Spags retires, Dave Merritt's your next defensive coordinator. Obviously, Nagy's your next head coach, and that's what you're going to go into kind of, you know, battle with in the next generation of this. I think Dave Merritt's an unsung hero for the way that he's getting this safety group and defensive back group, I should say, ready every single year with new dudes all the time.
Yeah, and a lot of it, secondary, this is the tough part about secondary play. So much of it is exposed. Every team's secondary gets exposed if you don't get a pass rush. Look at the Eagles.
Exactly. Yeah.
People didn't like the Eagles secondary maybe going into the year anyway. But the second you don't get Jalen Carter and you can't get pressure on the quarterback, they were getting picked apart.
Yeah.
Their corners were getting picked on.
Right.
That was one of the league's best defenses last year. So, like, some of it is, like, secondary will be fine if they get pass rush.
Mm.
Last year was one of the I would say, more down years for the secondary in general versus the previous two. They also finished, like, fifth to last or sixth to last in sacks. The previous 2 years, they finished third and fourth.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder the secondary looked better.
And that's
we don't
thing.
Have to cover nearly as long. Right. You know?
When you're watching the game and you see the secondary get beat, look at the defensive line and see how much time. Because I remember having the conversation with Vermeil 20-some years ago about defensive backs. He goes, I don't care who's playing back there. If we can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter. And that is true. That's one of the truer things in the NFL. Doesn't matter who's playing. You got Deion Sanders back there. If the quarterback has all day, Deion's eventually getting beat.
Yeah. Right. They just the wide receivers have the advantage in the league.
Yeah.
Well, Drew's got his Burrow jersey on. Harris Gel, Cologne Strong. What you guys coming up on 10 to 2 today?
Joshua Briscoe from obviously the Chiefs Radio Network, which you can hear. I think his pregame starts at 4 o'clock
today.
4
o'clock,
if I remember right.
Yeah.
He'll join us. Still a little bit of Royals. Jake Eisenberg joins us every Friday, so we'll talk about them. They're only two games back. I'm still mad about the game two nights ago, and I don't even want to be. Because I feel like the energy in the city was getting ready to be like, they were ready to let it, and then they lost, and they're like, all right, Chiefs,
one
I guess.
Right.
And you're like, no, come on, wait, hold on. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit, plus KUMU, you
nice.
Know, the normal stuff.
Love that. Well, Cody, we appreciate you joining us
Thank
on the
you,
roundtable.
Cody.
Enjoy your show. 10 to 2, you can find Cody, Drew, and Gold from 10 to 2 here on 96.5 for the Fan. This was the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. We'll get into our Richards of the Week on the other side and wrap this show up on a Red Friday Chiefs Kingdom edition here on 96.5 the Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
All right, here we go.
We're there, baby. We're there, baby.
But before we get back to the Chiefs, we got to get into some people that are just Richards. Just got to do it. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That makes sense.
Waving that flag to nobody.
Sorry. My mind is completely on the garage, surf sides.
Yes. It's time to go. It's 9:45.
Yeah, dude.
It's time to go.
It
got to get to the J, get my swole on for a good take shoulder day.
Ooh, okay.
I like that machine. Was it the fly press?
The fly machine. Absolutely. I do a lot of dumbbell stuff, though.
I love that one, and I love the one where you just feel it.
But you know what? Arnold was telling me this, because you know how I read Arnold every day now. Like, I talk about Arnold to people like he's my friend.
My.
Arnold was saying, but he was saying, like light, obviously lightweight is is better because you can do the actual workout the way it's supposed to be done. And he goes, but then you need to use heavier weight to develop that muscle mass. Take your max 80%, and that's kind of what you should be doing. And so I'm being serious. Like, his newsletter is great. Every morning it's in there, and it's just interesting stuff to read about ways to keep your mind healthy, your body healthy, all kinds of good stuff.
So careful with those shoulder workouts, man. I effed up my shoulder in high school. Still struggle with the military.
See, I don't do a lot of heavy weight because I don't want to get hurt. I'm kind of that. 48-year-old man on the floor going,
not now, Chief. I'm in the effing zone. Arnold's given a lot of great advice. Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah.
Get to the chopper.
I'll be back.
You got to get down.
Chopper.
Go Chargers, go, but not tonight.
It's not a chopper.
Yeah. Oh. Amari Tuma. So, Richard of the Week brought to you by the wonderful Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part is zero bubbles, so you have zero trouble. So I'll lead this off, Richard of the Week, real quick, real simple. You guys saw it last night on Twitter. It is 100% Jalen Carter. You're Richard, man. You cost your team a possible chance at losing the first game of the year. You are a valuable piece. You're an NFL player. You played football your whole life. You've been prepped up a ton where people are going to try to poke the bear. And we got more video this morning of Dak kind of instigating it, looking like he was kind of throwing some gas on the fire. You can go, you can walk away. You can not do that. Even Cody Tapp knows. Guy shrugs you. You can just be like, all right, that guy sucks. Instead, pop your mouth out. Right into the face.
Well, but see, that's the thing. He doesn't matter what Dak did. He reacted. And Dak won.
And not only that, but if that man spits, then let him do that. And then, when you get an opportunity and an open shot at Dak Prescott and you might put your shoulder into his shoulder a little harder to let him know that you're there. Nothing to hurt him, obviously, but just let him know, man, I remember that what you did. I'm here. I'm him. I'm Jalen Carter. Yeah. I'm new to this league. You know what I come with. I'm that new Ndamukong Suh is now what Jalen Carter is becoming. Dirty is the first thing you think of. And then you're like, but he's also really good.
He's really good. and Ndamukong Suh is that way too. But
if you're spitting on human beings, you know how I say it. Do nice things. Don't be a Richard. My Richard of the Week, 100%, Jalen Carter. Just don't spit on people. Slap him across the face. You know what you're going to get there? A flag. It's not a punch. If it's a slap or a shove, That merits a shove. And then when the referee goes, what happened? He goes, dude, he just spit right here.
Yeah.
Then it's over. So Jalen Carter's my Richard of the Week. I digress. Kiss my ass.
I think with Jalen Carter, though, did we see something yesterday that maybe the rest of the league is on now? He's easy to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a short fuse.
Right? He's got a short fuse. And so Dak did that. Because words on the street, hey, you can get to this guy, right? He'll react.
Right.
So taunt him a little bit. Taunting's fine, like that kind of stuff. The trash talking that goes on down in the huddle, and that's gamesmanship. And they probably knew that if you got Jalen Carter, he may do something stupid. And so they baited him. He fell for it. I got to be honest with you. I'm the rest of the NFL. I'm doing it every game to this guy. I am trying to bait him into doing something like that, because that seemed like a pure baiting of that guy last night. And if that was what it appeared to be, that means the word's out on the street that that guy's baitable.
And not only that, we've all in that group of friends, we all have them. Either it's your brothers, because you've got a good slew of young dudes that are in your group.
Yeah.
There's that one guy that can push a button better than anybody in the business. Mm-hmm. And there's one guy that just can't have his button pushed.
Yep.
And when those two meet, which might have been Dak and Jalen Carter, it's everybody else going, this ain't going to be good. Ricky, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yes.
He's gonna lose his lid.
But if you're the Chiefs next week.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be there, Bob.
Oh, he'll be there.
No.
Oh, yeah. The Tom Pelissero said so.
No, I think he's. Yeah, I agree.
I think
spitting is assault. Wrong. Spitting on somebody is assault.
I agree.
No, but the ball washers for the league are already carrying the water. Well, he's already sat out a game. God, screw you.
I hope you're right.
My Richard of the Week has been so many different ones this week. I've been kind of all over the place.
I hope he's going with the one he said he's going to go with.
And I've decided that I am going to go with, because this is one that can be for everybody.
Sorry.
Over cologne guy.
Yeah. Did you know that I'm wearing cologne today?
No.
Thank you. I'm a one spray guy. Walk
spray.
Through it, rub my hands on it, get that garage smell off, and then I'm off my day.
I had no idea, but
you know everybody else is.
Over cologne guy. When my daughter tells me at Hy-Vee, I don't understand why the boys in high school wear a gallon of cologne. And then I come to the office this week, and I've smelled at least three different gentlemen who have bathed in this stuff, man.
BBL, stinky.
It is not a good smell. It is not something that others want to smell. And that's why you're my Richard. Not because you're doing it, because your odor is having a direct impact on others. Take a shower and very little cologne. You don't need to bathe yourself in it. And also, to the folks around the building, you're not in high school anymore. You don't need Axe body spray.
Yeah, man. Chicks love it, man. Check it out. I got
no,
this
they
dude.
Don't. That's the biggest misnomer ever.
Yeah, my girl loves it, bro.
They don't. Not one girl I've ever heard. I have two daughters who have said, oh, that's really good to smell on a guy.
Somebody says that this dude at my office, he swims in his cologne. You can smell him a block away. It's bad. There's this server at a restaurant in Lee Summit. I kid you not. You can smell him the minute he walks in. Like, they set down your, like, wonderful, like, salmon salad. Just, it smells like JCPenney's in the 90s. Or when you used to get that magazine
and you rubbed it all over
you. Had a paper cut on your throat.
Why did they do that? What?
I don't know.
Did they think it smells good?
They don't shower. They're trying to hide some. I don't know what
it's like
it is.
It's like farting in your car. You're like, ooh, that's a bad one. But you can still, you know, soak it in.
Yeah.
But if somebody else were in that car, they'd be like, same with cologne. Yeah. Like, ooh, I like that smell. It's Acqua di Gio by G. Armani, RIP yesterday.
Yeah. So just go and be done with it. You spray it in the air and you walk through it. Just like this. Just walk through it.
Or you don't wear it.
Or don't wear it.
Mac, you got a Richard of the Week?
I very rarely wear cologne.
Very rarely.
Very rarely. Like, my wife bought me a bottle when we first started to date. 20 years ago, I still have that.
I bought a bottle of cologne like 5 years ago. I still use it.
I mean, I still have paprika that's 20 years old.
I mean, the way that hunters will put like fake deer piss on their clothes is, I think, what Drew Nixon did to his Joe Burrow jersey this morning.
It's not even just Drew. Like, there's been multiple offenders lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
man. Yeah. My chick loves it, don't you? It's cool. It's called Seabreeze. Yeah, bro.
This was mine earlier in the week. I think this was Wednesday, dude. Emmett Sheehan.
Never heard of him.
Pitcher for the Dodgers. He intentionally kept the first MLB
I saw
hit
that.
Ball
this
for Cam
guy,
Devaney.
Yeah, this guy's
dude.
A douchebag.
Cam Devaney got this hit, and then the team asked for the ball.
Cam Devaney, former Royals, great.
Former Royal, there you go.
That's the guy they traded for Frazier. Adam Frazier,
yeah,
who hit a big home run last night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, and Cam Devaney just got his first big league hit. Are the nerds still sweating out this trade?
I'll tell you what, one word, stupid.
Yes. The team asked for the ball. The umpire threw it to the pitcher, the new ball to the pitcher. Yeah. And then he grabs the new ball and like does this little switcheroo with his hands as he's carrying out the old ball, new ball, oh, back old ball. And then,
what'd you call me?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's whatever. Where you go,
you're
man?
An idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, that guy's a douchebag. He really is. Yeah. He's up there with that guy, that CEO or whatever it was at the U.S. Open, the tennis match.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That guy, he's a billionaire.
He basically responded with not an apology. He said, sucks to suck.
Yeah.
And he doubled down.
It's ridiculous.
I'll tell you what, one word, stupid. Yeah, that guy, man. Are you kidding me? There's a lot.
What was that guy doing?
Took the hat, and the kid's like, dude, what? And then there's this wonderful video that went out last night. Blue Jays fan out in right field, catch a home run from a Blue Jays player. What's he do? Little kid right behind him in an Aaron Judge jersey, gives the kid the ball. Kid immediately in tears, hugs the guy.
Oh, that one's been going around for a while. That was a Judge home run that a Blue Jay fan caught. Yeah, that's a cool
Judge home run.
Yeah, that's awesome when you do stuff like that.
Nice things.
You're a major league pitcher. Probably won't be. Yeah, like, why would you do that? You know what you're going to try? That guy's probably going to try to sell that ball or something, right?
I mean, even if he cares. That much. I think he was just being a Richard to be a Richard. He's like, you know what? I know you want this. I know I have it. I'm going to keep it.
Yeah,
it's
just a jerk move. Like, his name around baseball right now, if your other team's like, we don't want that guy at our clubhouse.
He's like, that might be the only one. I'll tell you what, one word, stupid.
Yeah, that may be the only hit that guy ever gets in the big leagues. And this pitcher who we'll never hear from, what was his name? Richard Simmons?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, that's right.
Richard something.
Emmett Sheehan.
We'll never hear from M again.
This guy sucks, dude.
Seriously, like,
yeah, it's crazy.
If you're another team and you bring that guy in, like, he's already got the stank around him of this guy's a jerk. BBL stinky.
No doubt about it. We got a text from Matt on the text line reaching out to all of us. I'm just walking around the house this morning blurting out, I know that I'm hard. My wife is very concerned. Go Chiefs.
Yeah.
I know that I'm hard. Got a big one today, fellas.
Yes.
Got a big
one. Do the Chiefs play today?
Hey, they don't play today. They play tonight.
Tonight, let's go. Woo.
I mean, look, the Lord's doing wonderful things for us. He gave us an overcast day in the morning, and then the sun's going to come out, break out in the afternoon. We're all going to be on a patio. We're all going to be having some sort of surfside cocktail, getting loose, ready for this game tonight. Final score prediction of the show. Bob, we know it. What is it?
35-0 Chiefs.
Mac, what's the final score
prediction? Give me 27-17 Chiefs.
I'll take 27-21 Chiefs. I think we're in for a dogfight early, but I think we see some separation late, and that all revolves around Isaiah Pacheco. You remembered earlier, our parlay, 565. Travis Kelce anytime. Juju Smith-Schuster over 19.5 yards, and Isaiah Pacheco over 40. That's the Fesco Dusty Mac parlay, and this is what we say. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could ruin their day. It could make
not
their
nice
day.
Things.
No, do nice things. It could make their day, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Baby, we are there. 10-2, Cody and Gold Drew coming up next. Go Chiefs.